Just So Jables.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Just So Jables Film Podcast with me, Jables.
Me, our kid.
Me, producer Ben.
As no doubt you know already, here on the Just So Jables Film Podcast, we like to go and watch you a film, our hot takes straight after the film without prior preparation and probably piss poor performance. But before we get into that, our kid, we still like to know how right or wrong we got it afterwards. Tell us, how right or wrong did we get it last week with the film, which was...
Civil War.
Well done, Ben.
Nice. A lot of people have been saying the same sort of thing about Civil War being visually interesting, but a bit weightless. So I went onto YouTube and it was the sort of film that a lot of the YouTubers were talking about, which we haven't really had for a little while. No. So Robot Head, who's an Australian YouTuber that I quite like, just said it was gutless. He said, we don't get any depth, background or motivations, and compared it unfavourably to Children of Men. I don't know if you've seen that with Clive Owen.
Yeah.
I know you have. And he said that had a real sense of danger and a mixture of people trying to live their lives while surrounded by war and terrorists. And also made quite a lot about the analogue photography just being dumb.
What about the analogue photography?
Well, in analogue photos and last photo of the president wouldn't have made it before everyone had taken a photo on their phones had already uploaded it.
Yeah.
So I thought that was quite interesting. Critical Drinker made car references, so worthy of Ben, and said, it's a luxury sports car with no driver and no engine. Superficially impressive to look at and clearly made with care and attention to detail, but there's no sense of purpose telling it where to go and nothing at its core to power it forward.
Okay, so now I'm assuming that he listens to our podcast and he's stealing my my little trope.
2 million viewers, yes. He's taking it from here. Some of the traditional media, shall we say, were a bit more positive. Matt Zoller of Roger Ebert called it furiously convincing and disturbing and gave it 4 stars out of 5, though most of the comments in the thread seemed to disagree. And Stephanie Zakarek of Time magazine made comparisons to zombie movies and said it had the vibe of a standard desolate zombie movie with a modern American backdrop, but is far less effective than your average George A. Romero project. Sometimes a B-movie with a sense of humour says more about a nation's despair than an over-serious one, which I thought was quite interesting.
Yeah.
Rotten Tomatoes is fairly positive. Critics score 81%, audience score 75%. And it's made $49.5 million on a budget of $50 million. So I guess it's kind of breaking even-ish. So it's probably has a lot of publicity.
So that's technically a flop then, isn't it?
Technically, really? But I'm sure they'll be happy enough.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. I get what they're saying, especially the kind of zombie apocalyptic, post-apocalyptic. It was kind of a series of short scenes more than like one big long through story, if you know what I mean. So in isolation, most of those parts actually worked. But I think the overall, it definitely needed a bit more background. I still, I still think that. I get it and I get what they were trying to do. And I don't think it was a problem about the, you know, being on the fence politically, even though it would have, what would have been more interesting is to have a bit more actual detail of the reasons why. Yeah. Because, you know, they're saying about the bad things that the president done, but not really elaborating on it. And it was very throwaway. An idea and a sense of how everyone thought about it would have actually been quite interesting and realize, and you know, and understanding why some people would be defending it if they thought he was doing it for the right reasons. Because, you know, ultimately there was a reason for it happening. It would have been interesting, you know, you decide. So I think it definitely missed stuff there. But I still liked it. I still, you know, enjoyed the film. It didn't blow me away. It hasn't really stuck in my mind that much. And a bit like we said last week, maybe it's because it's not in our backyard as such. It's not our sensibilities. It's not our culture that it's questioning. But
well, it's kind of Western culture. I mean, it's not completely outside of our wheelhouse.
No, but it's not. But it's not our democratic setup.
Well, it's not miles off.
That's what I think.
Fight.
No, not really. Just, yeah, I agree. But I think that thing of the background, like there was so much empty space. There were abandoned cars they drove past, and then they went to quite well-organized and polite refugee camps. I just couldn't really see what it was that got them to that point, and I just feel it would have been good to have had a bit more background to that. Not necessarily flashbacks or big exposition dumps, but something a bit cleverer woven in so that it made more sense. Ben?
I've really gone off this film in the last week. I have thought about it a little bit. The more I think about it, the more shallow I think it was. And it's probably just repeating your points, but from a slightly different angle. I just think it was just a bit style over substance. And that sounds a bit glib, but I think that's ultimately how I feel about it after a week of thinking about it. There you go.
Boom.
You're welcome.
Well, you might as well keep talking, Ben. What are you on about this week then?
What am I on about this week, you just asked. Well, let me tell you, Expendables 4.
Oh, really?
Which is the newest of the Expendables films.
Popped up on Amazon, was it?
Yeah. Okay. So we sat down to watch that at the weekend, and we got about 12 minutes into it, and we switched it off because it was utter garbage.
Yeah.
So no, that's what I'm on about.
Okay.
Don't watch it. Do not watch this film, which I feel terrible saying because it's got Jason Statham in. He was super phoning it in. Everything was super wooden, super cliched. Really felt like, and I know this is a cliche in of itself, felt like it had been scripted by AI, and maybe even parts of the graphics were AI. It was just absolute tosh. Avoid.
Sorry, I was going to say, there was a scene with Megan Fox in, and I said to Ben, I can't believe they did that to Megan Fox. She looked awful. And Ben went, was that Megan Fox? Because
Oh, really?
She was just unrecognizable. I don't know, what their makeup.
What did I say? It was like a weird...
Like you said, AI over the top. It was just like, not just how she looked, but how she behaved. Mm. It was just really awful.
It was like a drawing of Megan Fox
Oh, really?
On an iPad. It was weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's me. Short and sweet.
Short and sweet.
Avoid,
yeah.
Please. Do not watch the film. Jables, what are you on about?
Well, I, at the weekend, in as we finished Pirates, we decided we were starting the Mummy franchise. So we watched the first Mummy, not the like old one, the first of the Brendan Fraser Mummy films, which was very cool. I really liked that.
Yeah.
But the bulk of what I'm going to be on about is Fallout. I finished the Fallout series. Did you watch any of it?
No. We did download it, but we never actually put it on,
yeah.
Did we?
We downloaded and forgot.
Yeah, so I finished it all. Really good. Really liked it. I think I know I went on about it a bit last week, but very satisfying. It was nice to watch a series which was, it didn't take itself too seriously. It was relatively faithful to the source material. I think most people who, if you're a Fallout fan, and there are lots of them, would be hard pressed to find major issues with it, even though they will. Some people always will. No, it was really good. I enjoyed it all. I liked, is it Walton Goggins? He's the cowboy
in
the ghoul.
Yeah. What was he in that we liked? There was that cowboy series with Timothy Oliphant.
Okay.
I can't remember what that was called. And he was the villain in that.
But
he was good.
He is the villain in this, but, or is he the villain in this? And he just plays it really, really well. And everyone in it is really good. It's a little bit cheesy in places. Not everything lands. More, like two or three episodes in, I was a bit like, I'm not 100% sure of that. But as it went on, just the aesthetic and everything, really good. Well worth watching.
We'll get around to it at some point, I'm sure.
Well, we've got it already downloaded on the laptop, so yeah.
Our kid?
Well, we didn't watch Expendables. One thing we did watch at the weekend was a double bill of Hellraiser.
Okay.
So that was really, that's the only thing I can be on about because it's the only other thing that we watched.
Did you find it in a charity shop?
We did.
Was it? No. Entertainment Exchange.
Wasn't it? And it was actually the first three films.
Okay.
Altogether.
Box set?
Box set.
Nice.
But we only watched the first two films because they're our preferred films. Now, we have done a Hellraiser special in the past.
We have, yeah.
So if people want to know more about the film, they can go 2 or 3 years.
Oh, yeah, it would have been.
Back in the past.
Halloween special.
And listen to that. Yeah, birthday Halloween special. Yeah, we just had a Saturday afternoon double bill of it and loved it. It's still one of the greatest 80s films, I think. Horror.
Okay.
Yeah, genre horror. I was doing a little bit of research earlier on just while I was waiting, and I just Googled Hellraiser, and you know, you just get questions that come up. One of the questions asked was, why is Hellraiser so popular? So I thought, oh, that's an interesting question. I'll nosy at that. And it says, because it weaves themes of love, eroticism, desire, and of course pain into a tale of demons and scarred flesh.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I mean, that's kind of what it does, yeah.
That's what I'm on about.
It's just a good film. I like it.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, actually, when I bought it from Entertainment Exchange, because we've been looking out for the DVD for it for a couple of weeks.
Have you cancelled your retro shop?
Well, pre-order? They directed us to Entertainment Exchange, yeah. Actually, bless them. Yeah.
Mark of a good company. If they can't solve the problem, direct it to someone who can. Excellent work, guys. Entertainment Exchange. So I bought this there over the counter at the weekend from some lad who works in there. And he was like, oh, are these good? Do you think I should watch them? I was like, I don't know how to advise you, actually. Because, like, you're talking to someone who's probably, like, 18, 19, something like that. I don't know how people would respond to it. Because we were talking about, like, the production values. There's some cool stuff in there.
It is.
And, like, effects. It's all very physical. But it's also quite basic and quite grainy, is what I said to him. I was like, if you're expecting, like, modern production values, you might be surprised how rubbish. It's not rubbish. But it is a bit rubbish, this film. Yeah. Like, the production... And then in Hellraiser 2, there's some weird stuff going on as well with effects.
And the tone's all off and all over the place, isn't it?
That kind of Escher labyrinth thing that they wander into is like clearly just a drawing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's still great. Anyway, that's all I just wanted to add.
Yeah.
Nice. Don't know how this would land with the 18, 19-year-old. Like, because when did we first watch this? Probably a bit younger than that, maybe.
Yeah.
But, you know, that generation. Anyway.
Well, if the lad from Entertainment Exchange wants to get in touch, how does he do that?
Well, he could just come round.
No, don't. He's a kid. That would be inappropriate.
Yeah.
He's not a kid.
And failing that?
Socials, at Just So Jables on Instagram, Twitter and Facebook. Email us, hello@justsojables.com, or find the links on the website, justsojables.com.
Lovely job. Well, on to this week then. Abigail, we've all seen the trailer.
Not for a little while, but we have
seen it.
We've
seen it on the big screen, and Ben's just watched it again to remind himself what we were on about.
No, I haven't actually, because I want to surprise myself.
Oh,
you know what
you?
My memory's like. I've got a vague recollection of having seen it on the big screen a couple of 3 weeks ago, maybe.
Yeah, so this is directed by Matt Bettinelli-Olfin and Tyler Gillett, I don't know. Who are known for, they work together quite a bit. They know they've done the more recent Scream films, so Scream and Scream 6, which are supposed to be quite good. They also done like VHS and Ready or Not. Yeah, not averse to the horror genre. Starring Melissa Barrera, who was also in Scream.
I was going to say, I recognise her name.
Yeah, Dan Stevens.
Oh, nice.
Off of Downton Abbey and...
Eurovision.
And Legion, which I liked.
Yeah.
I really like that series. I never did finish the last couple of episodes, though. I don't really know why. Alicia Weir? Or is it Alisa Weir? Alicia, however you say that. Weir, who is the girl from Matilda and Wicked Little Letters, I think she was in as well.
Oh, so you'll recognise her, but we won't.
Yeah, but out is the star of the show in terms of Abigail. It appears to be a vampire film. It's quite a lot given, I don't know how much of the actual long part of the story is given away, but there's quite a lot given away in the trailer in terms of setup. I think if you watch the trailer, you're not going to be surprised at that aspect of it. It seems like people stuck in a house, not 100% sure about their motivations. You don't know if they're going into the house because it seems like they're there to...
Either guarding her.
Yeah, or rewarded.
But then the tables are turned on them and they become the hunted. And
the hunter becomes the hunted and all that kind of stuff. So, we don't know the exact setup. Apparently, it's a builds as a remake of an old Dracula film. Mm. 1939, I think it was, Dracula's Daughter. 1931 film, Dracula's Daughter. But having read up a little bit on the write-up of that, it's like loosely based on, like amazingly loosely based on the film Dracula's Daughter, because in, you know, reading the write-up, and I may have even seen it at some point.
Mm. So Gary Oldman's not going to rock up.
No, Dracula's daughter is actually like an older countess, and she thinks that once Dracula's been destroyed that she'll lose, and she's a vampire as well, and will lose vampirish powers. and then is trying to actually stop her being a vampire. Right. Yeah. Works with like a psychologist, so she's an older woman. So I just kind of read like the first paragraph. I was like, well, this doesn't seem the same.
No.
So basically, the hook is that Dracula has a daughter, and that's the only common ground, basically.
And we don't even know if this is going to be Dracula's daughter. I think,
or it's just a vampire,
right?
Yeah,
based on the Dracula.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, we don't know that. It was interrupted by the writer's strikes. So was it writers, actors' strikes? Which one was it?
Probably both. Because they followed on, didn't they?
Yeah. So right in the middle of production, the film was interrupted last year, and it was quickly wrapped up afterwards. I think that's some film info for you. How are you thinking about it, Arkid?
Yeah, I feel fairly positively towards it. I don't think the story is going to be that much. I think it'll be quite basic and throwaway. But I quite liked the imagery in the trailer of like the ballerina and the blood and all that kind of stuff. So if it's got that kind of graphic quality and can carry that through, I think I'll enjoy that aspect of it. But in terms of story, plot, etc., I think it'll be pretty basic. So I'm looking forward to the visuals, but maybe I'll be surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think this is an 18 certificate. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So it's going to be quite gory. That's the first thing. I guess I would say, because you get a hint at that in the trailer, I hope that's not all it is. It's like, I'm not averse to that kind of stuff. That's fine.
Yeah.
But I hope it's just not style over substance, basically.
Yeah.
I don't really care if there's that much of a story, but I want some decent performances. I want it to look good. It looks like it's set all in one house, maybe. Mm. We don't really know, but that's from the trailer. I'm always a little bit wary of things. Oh, what's the term you use? Like bottle episode that you guys use. I'm always a bit wary when it's like that, because I think you have to be very talented to pull that off.
Yeah.
So hopefully it will actually go a bit wider than that. Maybe we'll get some history. Maybe we'll get some background, either to Abigail or to why the parties come together in the house, whatever. Maybe there's some other story. Maybe it's even a heist film. Who knows?
Yeah.
Probably not. I just always hope for a heist element.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't really feel strongly either way, but you know, it's a horror film, might be quite cool. It's 18 rated, which is kind of good, because I think these days films shy off a little bit, those higher categories.
Yeah,
try to
do a 15 with, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, let's have a look, see what happens.
Yeah, it's an hour and 48 minutes long, so there's a bit of length to it. But yeah, I think it was filmed in Dublin, but I think it's set in New York.
So where? Sorry?
New York, sorry. But again, like Ben says, it feels like it's going to be quite an enclosed sort of shot. You didn't see much outside of that in the trailer, apart from scenes of, like, maybe there's some ballet scenes, but they seemed more kind of flashbacky or sort of dream sequencey, or I'm not 100% sure about that. So yeah, I'm kind of the same as you guys. I'm hoping for a bit more. It feels like it could just be a throwaway, here's an idea. It's, you know, it's like I said, there's that pitch of, oh, we do Dracula's daughter and then make it completely different. I hope it's not, well, we've done this pitch, oh, let's just make the film, or how are we going to do this now? And then they've just had to like cobble something together. Hopefully there's a bit more thought about it. The Scream films work quite well. They seem to know how to develop a bit of story in films, like in Scream and VHS, and making things a little bit different. So yeah, I'm interested to see how it goes. And just open-minded, play it by ear.
Cool.
Okay, quick Murder, She Wrote, and then let's get down there.
Yeah. Well, before we move on, we haven't actually mentioned Retro Reels, have we?
No.
Which we probably should have done in, what were we on about?
I thought that's what you were on about.
Well, so I probably should have been, but I forgot about it. Yeah.
So we've made a decision then.
We've made a decision.
Okay, good.
Are you in support of our decision?
I am in support of your decision.
Excellent.
Do you want me to do it?
Yeah.
Okay. Retro Reels is alive. Flash Gordon.
Nice.
Yay. Yeah.
So we had a bit of back and forth on this, didn't we?
We did.
This is a customer request as well.
Yeah.
So we know at least one person's going to turn up besides us.
Also, Matt was keen.
Matt was.
So there might be five of us at the least. Yeah. So yeah, exciting. So it's the 17th of May, which is a Friday, 7:30 p.m. down the Corn Exchange in King's Lynn.
Cool.
Get there on time because there's no trailers.
Sounds good.
And we'll see you there.
Yeah. Nice.
By the way, quick note, you do have to arrive in costume for this one.
Yeah.
So I get thinking about that.
Okay.
Excellent.
We'll expand a bit more about that next week, shall we?
Definitely. But we did say last week we'd announce it. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. Right. So before we head to the cinema, can I just say, please don't watch Expendables 4, people.
Okay.
Don't watch it.
Just don't do it.
We're back from the cinema. We just watched
Abigail.
Who's going to tell us what the story was all about, Ben?
Oh, I can do that.
Oh, go on then, Ben.
Okay. This is a good one because it's not too complicated for me. No. Okay, so question from Dables already.
Just tell you not to do any spoilers.
Now, just before I start, can I just say, and I'll get into this, if you don't know anything about this film and you want to be surprised, don't listen to any of this. Watch the film and listen to it afterwards. If for somehow you don't know anything about it, and we'll get onto that after. But with that little warning in mind, Ben, tell us what it was all about.
Well, I feel like you've put a lot of pressure on
me. There's no pressure because we've seen the trailer and we've talked about it kind of already. So
okay, so it's not too complicated.
No.
Basically, a crew of sort of semi-pro criminal misfits are put together to kidnap a young girl. And she's taken from one big fancy house with high security to another big fancy house with maybe some security out in the countryside. And the crew are set up in there. There's a bar. There's a pool table. They're told to just chill out, look after the girl, don't show your face, 24 hours, no names, although we might get code names at some point, and all hell breaks loose. And Elon Musk is there for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that as well, actually, yeah.
I was expecting more from Elon. I thought he'd come up with some technical way of getting out. Anyway, so that's basically it. I don't really think I need to say much more than that.
No, you don't need to say much more than that, but we will absolutely say more than that because what was in the trailer was a lot more. So, shall I get into it first of all?
Go ahead.
I really liked it. It was really good fun. I have quite a few issues with it, and I'm going to sound like I didn't like it as much as I did I'm talking about it.
So, you're going to nitpick?
I'm going to nitpick a bit, okay. But I've got reasons to nitpick, I think, and it's, you know. But overall, it was a good, fun film. It was a bit of a romp. It was funnier than I was expecting.
Yeah.
It was silly. It had blood. It had gore. It was a horror film. But in the kind of loosest sense, there was at no point in anywhere in the film that I felt any kind of threat or even slightly creeped, not even really jump scared. Like it was just kind of like a, you know, a roller coaster sounds weird, but it was just a bit of a, you know, as you say, a bit of a heist come horror film.
I think really. Romp is a good word.
Yeah, romp.
Yeah, it was a romp. It was. Yeah.
A gory romp.
A gory romp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go round the table. What about you, Arkid?
Yeah, I was surprised by how much I liked it.
Yeah.
Not for the reasons that I thought earlier. So I thought, yeah, I'll probably enjoy the visuals and think the story's like, meh. But yeah, the visuals were good, but actually it was the story and the characters that I liked the most about it. And like you said, the humour, I wasn't really expecting any humour. Mm. I thought there might be the odd little joke that didn't quite land.
Yeah, super pithy or something like that, I thought. Yeah.
But actually it was just quite a light-hearted romp, as you say.
Yeah.
And I was also surprised by the acting. I thought it was, you know, good and everybody was into it and not phoning it in. And yeah, it was schlocky. Yeah, there was silliness. But yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Everyone was going along with it, wasn't they?
Yeah, definitely.
Wasn't they?
Yeah.
Wasn't they? Yes, they was, Jables.
It was.
I really like it, yeah. I mean, it's not the most amazing film in the world. It doesn't move the line forwards on any particular way in terms of plot, characterization, effects, or anything like that. But I think that's almost to its credit, because I think one of the things you get with these sorts of films is sometimes they just try and make it too edgy or they try and do something too clever. If you're expecting that from this film, you're not going to get it. Mm. If you've seen the trailer, you more or less know what you're going in for. And I think they've done basically a solid job of this. I'm interested to hear, Jables, what you're going to nitpick on.
Okay.
Now, at the start of the film, I was a little bit worried because I thought the little troop, the little putting the gang together, I thought they were going to be just the wrong side of irritating.
Yeah.
Very occasionally, one or two of the characters did, for me, go slightly across the line into being, oh, just stop it. But then they seemed to pull it back, and I think that's when they started to ramp the humour up a bit.
Yeah.
And again, with the humour, that could have gone wrong. I don't think it did. I think it was well balanced.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the most amazing film in the world, but I think I'm going to put it tentatively in the canon as something I'm going to get on DVD. And I'm going to enjoy watching on a Saturday night every year, something like that.
I would agree. It's definitely got repeatability. It was fun enough and silly enough And yeah, lighthearted, but also good enough to be in that repeat viewing. What I'm going to get nitpicky about, and it's not just nitpicky, it's something that is a trend we've spoken about before. And I think this is like the height of this example of where these things can be really annoying. The trailer gives away what is essentially the bulk of the film. Mm. And not just the bulk of the film, the plot, the ideas. And the reason I'm kind of highlighting it so much in this, because the first half of the film, the first almost hour of the film, was dedicated to the heist or the picking up of Abigail, and then weird things happening and this kind of build up to them not knowing what's going on, and this, oh, there's strange things happening in this house. We don't know what's going on. And we all sat there. We're literally all going, we know what's happening. There was too much kind of emphasis on suspense and build up and stuff, when you can literally go, we know it. We've seen it. We know exactly what's happened. We've seen it in the trailer. We've seen those parts in the trailer. There is no mystery to us. And I found that really annoying.
Yeah, but I don't know how they wouldn't do that, because I still don't know how they managed to market From Dusk Till Dawn and then surprise everyone that it was a vampire film halfway through. I don't know how they could have done it in this day and age, which is what this would have had to be. It would have had to be another From Dusk Till Dawn
surprise.
I think
they've got to show more balls and do it.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the PC way of putting it.
I just don't think it could happen.
Probably shouldn't say show more balls.
Show more balls.
I think you can say that if you want to.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Can
have
I?
Have some show, balls, Jay.
Show, yeah, all show right. Your own balls.
Yeah. Because
please don't show your balls.
I won't show you balls. Because that's what the disappointment is for me in this film. Because I've got lots of other niggly bits, like I would in a film. It was actually really predictable, but there wasn't a lot that you hadn't seen in other films before. Those are the bits I don't want to spoil, because if you're watching it knowing what you know, you'd get it. You know what's happening. You'll work things out. But there were some nice touches on some of the characters and how they play and how they change. And I think you said, in the last sort of 20 minutes of the film, it wasn't like a crazy twist. It just went in a slightly different direction that made it interesting, even though the build to that was really contrived and doesn't make sense and has its own like gaping holes and plot holes in it. And it was like a device just to kind of like drive a bit more into the film. It was fine. That stuff was fine. I think they've got to be better at it. Divert it, you know, play it. You know, if they're doing it like a remake, even though it wasn't anything like the film I said earlier, Dracula's Daughter, if you're going to do that, make it slightly interesting. Divert us. Show us something different. Throw us off the scent. There was nothing to throw us off that. And like I said, I normally don't have massive problems with it, but when so much of the film hinged on that, the first half of it, it's not that it was boring. I was just like, ugh. And yeah. I wasn't actually that engaged until after halfway.
I think it probably could have got to the whole vampire thing sooner.
Yeah.
It was drawn out, but I don't necessarily think I needed that to be a surprise, because I think it was graphic enough to work as it did.
Yeah.
And I don't think they would be able to make it a surprise now. I just don't think they'd be able to make that film. Oh my God, she's a vampire.
Try.
I just don't think you'd be able to.
Try. I think just kind of try. Because the film felt quite long because of that. Not draggy, but a little bit for me at the start, where that could have been accelerated at the start. Because it was suddenly, you know, there's, as Ben says, they take them from one house to another and they do this kind of stuff. And then it sort of stops a bit. Whereas they could have, I don't know, compressed that to get into what we already know quicker.
I mean, I was thinking they could have started off in the house and then done the actual sort of kidnapping bit in flashback or something. Mm. It was a little bit drawn out, like you say. But yeah, I think it still worked fine.
Yeah, I think it's fair points on both sides. Yeah. But you could argue, okay, there's a better film in there, Screaming to Get Out, but I still enjoyed it.
No, exactly. And that's, you're right. And like I said, I don't want that to take it away. And it's not necessarily their fault. I think it's a lot of it's the system's fault. It's when things are handed over to the marketing people and they've gone, how do we market this and be a bit inventive? How good would it have been if you'd have gone into that film not knowing anything? You start watching, you think this is a heist film. And this, like you said, like A Dusk Till Dawn, you're watching a proper heist film that goes nuts. That would be pretty cool.
It would be very cool.
Yeah.
But some twat would spoil it.
Some twat would, but at least they've spoiled it. Because the things that that I often, so going on to things that I would have problems with normally, they did do annoying things.
Yeah, they did.
They did. Yeah. They were pretty dumb at in places. There's that whole sort of sequence with sunlight, let's say.
Yeah.
And I'm sat there going, you're not even going to try and get away.
Exactly. that is a window. It's like a big ass window.
Just at least try and climb to it or something. But I was like, yeah, fair enough. You're doing it. I let it split up. You know, it's some of the classic. I'm like, come on.
And I'm tapping James going, why?
Why? Yeah. But I think that kind of plays on that. They're a bit rubbish. They don't know what they're doing. And like not taking precautions and not finishing things off. Double tap. We all know that. Yeah. Zombieland. Kind of do stuff.
Double tap.
And this is nitpicky. When they shoot her at the start and she goes kind of flying back and then they shoot her again and shoot her in the head and she just doesn't do it. That always annoys me. There was a lot of changing of rules as you went through it. But again, they're like nitty-picky things. Mm. The big thing was what kind of annoyed me. I always wonder why Dan Stevens does an American accent. I don't like his American accent.
I didn't even notice it.
I find it really obvious. Yeah. I don't know what it is.
To be fair, it would have worked probably better if he'd just used his normal accent.
Yeah, that is fair.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah.
But I love what I'm going to call the blood splosions. It was proper kind of...
It was almost too much,
it was, that made us laugh each time because it was massively over the top, but really funny because of it.
Yeah.
You know, and there was a lot of... It wasn't a lot of gore, but it was kind of bloody, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But right on the verge of being...
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Which I really liked, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of worked in its favour.
Like, with that stuff as well... Just little touches I might have added if I was a filmmaker making this film, you know, just reference that going on through the film. Like there was a bit where she sits next to the other woman, Joey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're just like, oh, you know, don't worry. It's okay. It's going to be fine. I'd have added a little bit like, but you do still stink. Though,
just backed away.
So I've added a few of those bits in. So, but generally I think the humour was quite well done.
Yeah.
The characters I think were fairly well done. As I said, occasionally irritating here and there, maybe.
But in a way, I think they were meant to be.
Yeah. I think, absolutely. They were like the annoying heisters.
Yeah, because I thought to start with, they were just going to be so annoying that you were going to be thinking, I can't wait to see each one get picked off. But actually, I grew to quite like them.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know what you mean.
Yeah, but it's like, because there's a bit, obviously, at the start where they're all trying to figure out each other's characters and whatever, and using a little gimmick to do that.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you know, we're all pros, except maybe one of us isn't a pro. It's like, you're all pros, yet you've come in here, you've put the kid in the room to go to bed, and then you've all got hammered.
Yeah, you've all got hammered.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't. You just wouldn't.
And one of them's looking after them, like, the first thing she does is just, I'm just like, well, that's dumb, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, don't do some, you know.
I couldn't work out what happened to Rickles either. I don't know if I missed.
You don't really see it.
Because he's kind of stood there, and then he's... kind of gored up a bit.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure if she got to him or he was poisoned or I don't quite understand.
She definitely got to him, but
you didn't hear anything.
Off.
You just kind of
saw
him standing. So that was like the only moment where I was a bit like, I don't quite understand what's gone on here. Because it wasn't a difficult film to understand, was it? There wasn't any complex lore or anything like that. And they played on that, didn't they? With, you know, how'd you kill a vampire? And,
yeah.
You know, the garlic and the crucifix and how they, you know, did a little spin on that. Yeah. It was fun.
So Abigail herself, really, she was really well done, actually.
What's her name?
Alicia Weir. She was really good.
Had
that kind of young and old sensibilities that you need in that character. I liked how she played it. I kind of got a bit annoyed at the end as the end plays out without giving any spoilers where... You know, one of the main characters has to sort of make a decision or engage with Abigail. And it's just like, would you though at the end? And then would she have done anything like that? You just kind of think like literally all the way through, there's no reason at any point to think that any of the characters, apart from maybe Joey, would act any differently than they do. Not anyone apart from potentially Joey. I'm trying to say it without spoilers. And then someone does and you're like... It doesn't quite make sense because like literally there's this whole thing all the way through of people making bargains, isn't there?
Yeah.
And making deals, and literally everyone at every point reneges on that deal.
Mm.
So even Joey at times. So, it happens all the way through.
But it had to end that way, didn't it?
Yeah.
There was no different way for there it to end
no.
well. I'm not going to spoil it at all, but it does have what I thought was a good ending.
A good ending. I think the final confrontation was a little bit convoluted for me.
Yeah,
but
at least you got a crab walk. Thank
you
goodness.
Did.
I was
yeah,
a bit worried you weren't
going
to get that. But yeah.
It was quite satisfying at the end, even though...
And quite sinister it, too.
Yeah,
that
quite
was
sinister,
actually a bit where I thought, oh, that's a bit chilling actually.
But you wouldn't have been upset if it could have gone either way as well. It could, it worked, but it worked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you say, if you can find a way to watch this film without watching the trailer...
Yeah.
Which obviously, if you've got to this point, listen to the
it's
podcast,
impossible.
It's too late.
Yeah.
Yeah, then fine. Or if you've taken a knock to the head and recently had amnesia,
yeah,
whatever. But yeah, I mean, I don't really have anything more to add. There's not any calm moments in this film either, really.
Well,
apart from the slightly irritating bit where they've kidnapped the kid and they're going from the one house to the house in the country in a van. Points that irritate me is like when you're trying to escape or sneak away from somewhere, don't drive like an idiot.
Yeah, yeah.
Just drive nice and gentle.
Don't like drive like an idiot. Why are they worrying about cameras? Who would have known that there wasn't anyone that would have been going, hey, look out for this van with the pet thing, because they've just stolen a kid from a private house somewhere in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Overall, good film.
Yeah,
despite, I hope I made it sound right when I was saying that, because I definitely enjoyed it and I definitely would watch it again.
Yeah, me too, sure.
Yeah, I just wish I knew less about it going in.
Yeah.
And then I think I would have had I can just imagine I'd have had an exponentially better, I'd have been waxing lyrical a bit probably, maybe too much, I'd need to be reined in, because I'd have been like, oh, this was great fun. It really caught me by surprise.
Okay, so the moral of this tale is stop watching trailers.
Stop watching trailers.
Yeah. We'll watch them for you, and then we'll let you know what films
imagine.
We need to watch.
That's a whole different film podcast, isn't it?
Yeah.
God, you could really wind me up with that one, couldn't you? So.
Right.
Final grades, or are we just cracking on with trailers?
Grades.
Yeah, I can't give it a grade, really.
I'll give it like a Mazda MX-5 Mark II out of films.
Yeah.
Out of cars. Because it's still, like, competent, but it's probably not quite the one you'd want. But it's quite cute in certain ways.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I'd give it a Dusk Till Dawn light.
Yeah.
I think they probably had that in mind a little bit, didn't
they?
Maybe the filmmakers were a bit annoyed about how it was marketed as well.
Yeah,
I don't
maybe.
Know. Maybe they thought it should have been a bit more surprising.
Yeah. I expect they don't get much control over that.
No.
I don't think it does. Yeah.
That has made me just think, though, retro reels from Dusk Till Dawn, because we've been looking for a 90s film.
And The Mummy, which I said about earlier.
Yeah.
That's a 99.
Yeah.
But yeah, Dusk Till Dawn would be a good one. But
I think that would get people in.
I think it would.
I think it's a little bit creepy now as well, though, isn't it?
Like problematic?
Well, like sexy creepy.
It's definitely a bit problematic in places. Deliberately so. It's part of the film. But
I'm missing something, aren't I?
We'll discuss this afterwards.
Okay.
So, trailers, though. Ben, what were the trailers?
Tarot.
Yeah.
And Maxine with three X's.
So, Tarot. Did we speak about Tarot before?
We did.
I think you said it just looked really, by the numbers, predictable.
Yeah.
I think it looks okay.
Just that whole sort of, like, they're trying to generate a load of characters and see which is the best character that they can make a spin-off of in the future. I got that feeling.
Just those sort of masked face type things. We've seen it all before, haven't
a little
we?
Bit.
Jigsaw type stuff.
And they're chucking loads of them instead of just, like, one... Slender Man or one Abigail.
Yeah, and even that thing of them all sitting in the car and the sensors showing that there's something outside. We've seen that loads of times.
Yeah, it just felt like a set piece.
But
it might be all right.
Go and watch it by myself then.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll come with you.
Yeah. I was more interested in Maxine.
Yeah.
As you said, that I quite like the look of that. I like... Who's the...
Mia Goth.
Mia Goth. So she was in the...
X and Pearl.
Pearl.
This must be a follow-up.
I don't
because
know.
Because of the way it was XXX at
I
the
know.
Beginning. It must be. And she was the only one left at the end of X, wasn't
I know.
She?
And Pearl is a prequel, isn't it?
Pearl's a prequel.
But she's
where
a different...
she plays the old woman from X as a young woman.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. It's apparently really good.
Yeah,
and I haven't seen it. But I think this looks like it takes from old school horror and thriller type films, like the Zodiac films and the Bates Hotel. And
it like says it's 1985. Does it say? Not, I think it's 1985.
Or
it says.
It's sometime in it's the 80s.
But... It's a very 80s film, very 80s star. But I kind of
but
liked...
it actually directly references 80s films, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It was shot in a kind of like a video sort of style with that kind of grainy old NTS or PAL, whichever it was, like style. And I just liked the look of it. And It just had me intrigued. Colour me intrigued.
Yeah, definitely. Okay.
Yeah.
She's always good quality. Yeah, yeah. I really like her, so yeah.
Ben?
I'm probably feeling a bit more cynical towards it. It feels contrived to me.
Yeah.
But like, oh, look at all the 80s stuff again, because I thought we were past that. But
I get your point with the 80s stuff. I get you,
but it felt like this was actually being in the 80s rather than just referencing the 80s is what it felt like to me.
Yeah, maybe it'd be good, but I was looking at it thinking, why wouldn't I just go back and watch an 80s film?
Well, what's happening next week, Benj?
Don't know, we'll probably go to the pictures.
Nice.
Not looking great for next week. The Amy Winehouse film Back to Black is still on.
Okay.
It looks like Godzilla X Kong is going to finish on Sunday, so we won't see that one. There's Challengers.
Oh, no, I can't do it.
What is it?
It's that tennis throuple film with Zendaya.
Oh, my goodness.
I would rather watch Wimbledon.
I'm kind of intrigued.
I can't either. And then The Fall Guy is the following week and Tarot the following week as well. So
we may be streaming then.
We may be streaming.
Yeah. Or I could slide in like a charity shop DVD week.
Let's give it a go.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. We could try that, couldn't we?
Well, if people want to get in touch and tell us what we should be watching next week, how would they do that, Benjamin?
Socials at Just So Jables, Facebook, X, Instagram. hello@justsojables.com if you want to email us.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have had emails again, but about retro reels.
Have we?
Okay. That seems to be the thing people want to know.
And what do they want to know? Well, you've told them already.
Told them already. So go back to before we went out. And you'll know what retro reels is.
And if you don't, we'll lead with it next week.
Yeah.
Right. See you next week.
Smash in. Bye.
Bye. Just So Jables.